Thanks, Kenny. My name is Jeff, and I'm a nicotine addict, and I'm very grateful to be recovered from nicotine now. It's been, as of today, it's been 9 years and 7 days, and it's good to see a lot of familiar names in the meeting today, and I really have to just hope that maybe somebody could either get a laugh or get a little bit of experience, strength, and hope if they're struggling from nicotine addiction, and or just with life in general. Sometimes for me, I just still experience those periods of time where I'm completely frustrated, or I'm angry, or fearful, or something, and so it's just a matter of learning how to feel the feelings and learn how to deal with it in a different way. So I hope to share a little bit about my experience, strength, and hope, and my life story, and you know, what happened, and then a little bit of what it's like now. I started relatively early smoking. I was the oldest of 5 kids up in northern Michigan, lived in an alcoholic family. My father was the alcoholic, and my mother was in dire need of an Al-Anon program, and we just had a lot of stuff happening as kids grew up, so around the age of 9, I was in 4th grade. I remember, and a few of the neighbor kids and I went up in the woods and tried to smoke a pack of cigarettes that I'd stolen from my parents, and I didn't cough, I didn't choke. It was a little rough on my lungs, but I just coped with it pretty good. Couple of other friends didn't fare so well. They coughed and choked, and they couldn't handle it. And I thought, well, if I can handle it, then I'm a little bit better than they are. Such was that kind of thinking for me. I had a tendency to compare myself, my insides, to other people's outsides, and would look for those brief opportunities where I might be better than somebody else. That was just how it was for me growing up. I strived to be better than I was, and get the approval of people I looked up to. I continued on through elementary school, fifth and sixth grade, and then into junior high and high school. And from the time I was 10, I was making enough money to where I could always afford to get my own cigarettes. The only challenge was finding places to buy them where either I wouldn't get caught, people really didn't care. By the time I was had already smoked in the doctor's office and dentist's office and hot bars and restaurants and all over town, I was pretty much known as a smoker, and I didn't participate in a lot of sports that caused that required me to run a lot or to work out a lot. But I definitely would spend most of my time working and doing that to make money to do what I wanted to do, which was a lot of times, which was to smoke. I eventually joined the Marine Corps in 1975, and the first thing they had us do there in the first couple of days was to run a mile, and I almost did not complete that. I smelled ammonia. I was it just tore me up pretty bad, and so I saw really clearly in how smoking at that time had hurt me. I really didn't care. I was young enough to where it didn't matter to me, and I had other things on my mind anyway, and quitting smoking was just not part of it. But I continued on, and I got a lot better at running and working out and getting in shape and everything. But the cigarettes never really went away. I always smoked. And I used to pride myself that I could, you know, run 3 miles or 6 miles, and then smoke before and smoke after, and it didn't bother me. one time I ran a 10K race and had a respectable time, but it hurt. It hurt a lot. And the thought of quitting smoking just was not there for me at the time. It never occurred to me that, you know, maybe if I quit smoking, I could do a little bit better. Time I was about, I was in my early 30s, I ran into some big problems with alcoholism, and found out that I should be involved in a 12-step recovery program, and I did. The good thing about it for me was I could, you know, go outside and sort of socialize with people and smoke and try to be helpful to other people in ways I never really had before. It just seemed like something was missing. Something wasn't completely right. And I struggled for about 6 years to get sober, and the denial was really strong, and it was even stronger with my nicotine addiction. At some point, a year or two after I got involved in that program, I wanted to quit. I thought about quitting. I even looked up an article in a San Diego newspaper that talked about smoking. And I clipped that article out and read it a few times and thought about it a lot. I just couldn't see myself not smoking. It just wasn't going to work for me. I tried to quit and on my own a lot. I could make it a couple hours, maybe even a half a day, but it never failed. I would get emotional or angry or frustrated or something would happen, and I'd have to go grab a cigarette again. When I went to my first smoking cessation class, lasted 6 weeks. They give us patches and give us all these tips and tricks and how to quit, and I really was serious about it, and it was about 15 years before I quit for good, or this last time anyway. And I tried to follow all the instructions that they gave me. Don't drink a lot of caffeine. Plan a quit date. Use some sort of have a plan. Have a real plan to quit. And I did, and it didn't work. And that was sort of the beginning of proof for me that I can't quit. Every attempt I had made to quit, I eventually used it as proof that I couldn't quit, that it was too hard, that it was impossible, that some people might be able to quit, but it's not me. And I think the truth of the matter was that I was too afraid to quit. I just wasn't. I didn't have the willingness to any effort, real effort to quit. I would make half-ass attempts to quit, but to actually make an honest effort to quit, I just wasn't there. And finally, I got on to a campaign to help out my AA home group to possibly consider not having smoking meetings. I figured that might help me to quit, and it might help some others to quit, and certainly would help the group to, you know, thrive a little bit instead of having a bunch of old timers in there that just, they really didn't care just as long as they could smoke. And people would come in the room and leave choking because they can't tolerate the smoke. And it's still to this day is one of the last groups out here in Southern California that is able to get away with smoking in the room. And, but anyway, I started this campaign to, you know, maybe our group would be better off. I didn't. And my home group was rebelling against that idea to the point to where after a couple of years, they really didn't care if I left the group, and really didn't want to address that as an issue in our business meetings. And I had to just up and tell them, look, if you guys can't address this, then I have to leave. And they just said, go ahead, you know. Really, they really hurt because, you know, and we get into it and get involved in our recovery. It really is important to have a home group and a place where people know you and you know them and you can rely on them and they can rely on you. It really hurt to have to leave that group. But then about, I don't know, probably another 6 months or a year, I found myself out in my driveway and I couldn't breathe. It was horrible. It was worse than the 3 or 4 years of wheezing at night as I'm laying in bed. It was, I just could not breathe. I wound up calling an ambulance, and on the short ride to the hospital, I looked out the back window of the ambulance between my feet and thought, smoking got me here. My smoking got me here. What's it gonna take? And got to the hospital and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. They actually said my lungs sounded good and everything. And my wife and I shortly thereafter went to the see a doctor, and we both decided that we wanted to quit smoking. And so I knew one thing that really helped me was Chantix. I had used that a couple times before. As long as I took it as prescribed, it seemed to work. And I had it for about 2 weeks, and that's all it took. Both my wife and I quit on the same day. I certainly was one that thought, you know, that's not a good idea to have a married couple on the same day. That's just not going to work. But I hung in there with it because we both hung in there with it because we really wanted to not have cigarettes dictating where we went, who we were with, whether or not we do things or even take a flight to see my kids back in Michigan. It was everything was every decision I made considered whether or not I would be able to smoke just whenever I wanted to. And so we set a date, and we quit on that date, and I went to a couple of meetings where people were smoking outside the meeting, and I couldn't go there. I knew right then and there that if I hung out long enough, I was going to smoke. And so I decided right away that I had to make some changes. And one of them was to not hang out with people that were smoking, at least early on. And I found that as you know, as much as I knew about the 12 steps of AA, I somehow realized that I had to do something different. I didn't know what it was. The idea that Nicotine Anonymous existed wasn't there for me at the time. But I had worked the steps enough to where somehow it worked. I knew I was powerless over nicotine and my life was unmanageable. I knew that my smoking had me. I knew that for many years. And that's where I got stuck. I just couldn't get past it. And I always thought that I could do something about it on my own to quit. And I didn't need any help. So, because I didn't have any other support out here where I'm at in Southern California, I just sort of started praying and asking God for help. And I asked God for help for two things. One, to help me not smoke one day at a time. And I did that several times a day. God just helped me not to smoke, not to even want to smoke. And the other thing was to help me not get angry. And I avoided things that would get me angry because I knew what was going to happen. I knew if I got pissed off about anything that I was going to smoke. So I asked God for help for those two things, and in doing so, I started to get a little bit of time. You know, getting a week, 2 weeks, and what actually happened for me was I started to trust my higher power in ways I hadn't before. I was relying on my higher power to help me to not smoke, and I found myself trusting my higher power that I'd be okay if I didn't smoke. And in all of that, I wound up really developing a relationship with my higher power that I hadn't done before, at a level I hadn't done before in my other program. And After I got to about 6 weeks, I started to see that, you know what, this is really great that I'm not smoking. I'm enjoying the fact that I wasn't wheezing anymore after 6 weeks. I was really starting to see the benefits of not smoking, and I was enjoying it. But I knew something is going to happen, because that's just how my life has been. Something's going to happen that where the walls will come crashing down and I'm going to have to smoke. So I was really starting to get fearful of it. And so I got on the internet and I found Nicotine Anonymous. I found a retreat happening in about 2 months that was right over the hill from where I live, and I immediately had something to look forward to. I made it a point to get scheduled for that retreat, and then I also of course, found the website for Nicotine Anonymous and got hold of some literature. And I've always been oriented in service in my 12-step program in AA, and I got a hold of Gary. Some people know him as Pete Picking Willie. And found out about how to get a meeting started, and did all the footwork to do that. And the closest meeting I had to me was down in L.A., which was 2 hours away. I think the closest meeting was 2 hours away. But I really, I really felt strongly about getting a meeting started up here. And so, you know, the thing in our promises that talks about we begin to start thinking about Nicotine Anonymous instead of nicotine. And that's what was happening with me. I was getting involved in my own recovery. And I sort of knew right away that, just from my experience with being of service, was that it's not something I do to get recognition for doing it. It's more like, what is it I can do to help the next suffering addict? And if I go into it with that attitude, I tend to be okay. I have tried to help some other people quit smoking that have not been able to quit, and it's something that and they've died as a result of it, and it's just a horrible experience to go through. But at the same time, I have a sponsor that says that at least you didn't have to smoke. You know, my expectations always tend to be higher than they should be, and so when it comes to helping others, I really have to just leave it where it's at. I have my experience, strength, and hope. I can help give them information and go to a meeting, whether it's online or face-to-face or on a telephone. But when it comes to stopping them from lighting a cigarette and carrying on with their addiction, there's really nothing I can do. And I think after I got on that retreat, that first retreat, I found myself surrounded by people who had a lot of recovery, a lot of time in the program, had a lot of experience, strength, and hope. I just was totally grateful for finding other people that had the same desire to quit that I did, and to not only quit but stay quit and help others quit. So we got a meeting started up here in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and got it going, and it's ever since we started, we've had as little as 3 or 4 people there, and as many as 20 people in our group. And it goes up and down, it has over the years, but I'm still a part of that group, and it is my home group. Just the other day, we were talking about how we've grown and how we've noticed if we're not smoking, we grow emotionally and spiritually. And I've known all these people and for years, and before they quit and after they quit, and all of us have really changed a lot. In ways that I sometimes just cry, and because I'm so grateful that we're that tight, that we're willing to look out for each other in ways that regular people just don't. In addition to getting that group started, I I got involved in the telephone meetings. I got on the online meetings too. I just found myself for probably the first 2 years, immersed in meetings, face to face, online, and on the phone. The telephone meetings at the time, I think we had 3 meetings a week, and then the online meetings. Of course, Bonner has went up and down over the years as well. But, for the most part, it's all grown, and it's all grown because there are still people that are need a program. And willing to do it, which is still suffering nicotine addicts. And I also, as has been said, I got involved in the service at the first, my first World Service Conference was in Long Beach. I found myself trying to find a way that I could be of service and not think, well, this isn't AA, so I shouldn't do this. But find a way that not only helps the fellowship, but also allows me to be of service in ways that are helpful to the fellowship, and I've been doing that ever since. As a outreach coordinator and bylaws coordinator and doing some other things for World Services, I've really developed not only an appreciation for all the people that try to help out, but a new awareness of some of the differences between Nicotine Anonymous and other 12-step programs and sort of see why things work in some fellowships and don't work in others. So I'm just still willing to learn, you know, whatever it takes. Help the still suffering addict. And, and last week, I took a cake at my home group for 9 years. I'm just amazed that with a simple attitude and just looking for the willingness to not smoke one day at a time, my life has completely changed. I still have COPD. I'm still in recovery process from colon cancer and still doing some other things that I've got other medical problems that I never really thought that can't happen to me. I am so grateful that I don't have to look for a cigarette to make my life better. Anyway, that's all I got. And Kenny, I'm not sure if there's a time limit or anything, but I will close it out with that. And thanks for everybody being here tonight. And I hope something I said helps somebody. And that's all I got. Thanks.